Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 25th day of December, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is a time for peace and a time for war. We'll be reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in a few minutes. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. By the way, Paleo Hebrew is the mother tongue of all Indo-European languages. It is not the mother tongue for the people called Jews today, which is Yiddish, and that is based on ancient German. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambith. Callers are welcome. We do ask that you watch your language, as we have young folks that listen to this program, and also keep comments as short as possible so that others can participate. And when more than one is on the line, we ask that you be courteous and not step on other people as much as possible. We are in the question and answer mode, which means every caller or person joining the call will be automatically muted until such time as they either press the button that says ask question, or if they're on a phone, they hit star 6, which will put you in the question and answer queue. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. Lots of information there. I've been finding a ton of books lately. So if you've not been to the recommended reading page in a while, I added a bunch yesterday. Tomorrow I have a bunch more to add. More and more books to support our stand, which is amazing. That many PhDs, scientists, master degree individuals, investigative researchers, etc., are putting out a lot of information over the last decade, and basically it's all supporting what we've been talking about on this program for well over 20 years, and in some cases 30 to 35 years, if you go back to when we used to do all of our speaking at actual events, live events. Our reading, first reading, will be out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, or Mighty Elohim, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the government will be on his shoulders. So it seems to me when government of men who are outside of believers in the Christ, the Anointed One, seems to me they're interlopers, aren't they? Yeah, they have usurped their position. They don't belong governing over the righteous men and women of Yahweh, that's for sure. And we're living to see what happens when you violate Yahweh's law. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, none are so hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depth of their minds by masters who rule them with lies. They feed them on falsehoods till wrong looks like right in their eyes. Hallelujah, that's exactly where we are. In other words, in his day, he was basically saying the world or this kakistocracy is run by psychopaths, because that's how psychopaths are. Everything about them is a lie, a fraud, a deception. So keep that in mind as we go forward talking about these monsters that live with us, and how they behave. Thomas Jefferson told us, "I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery." Ladies and gentlemen, you've been living in peaceful slavery up till now. That's about ready to change, I have a feeling. Anyway, we're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 here and read a little bit, because in this book we're going to find that he's telling us about the seasons that we all go through in our lives. And we're approaching a time where the last verse, verse 8, is going to become very significant. But starting up at the beginning, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." Hallelujah. As I said, the second half of verse 8 is pretty close to where we're at right now. There's time for war, and then there's time for peace. When your enemy is in your face and does not leave you an out, you have no choice but to resist and fight. Our founding fathers ran into the same issue, and now here we are in the same boat, because we have violated not only God's law, but we have completely abandoned all of the warnings that were given to us by our founding fathers. It's amazing to me. I just find it absolutely amazing at how simple it is to do the right thing, how simple it is to figure this thing out, and yet people act like it's so complicated. No, it's not. No, it's not. A couple quick quotes, and then I want to get to a news item here. John Stuart Mill said this: "The person who has nothing for which he is willing to fight, nothing which is more important than his own personal safety, is a miserable creature and has no chance of being free unless made and kept by the exertions of better men than himself." Dresden James says, "When a well-packaged web of lies has been sold gradually to the masses over generations, the truth will seem utterly preposterous, and its speaker a raving lunatic." Reminds me of the verse that talks about a prophet will be accepted, he will not be accepted in his own hometown, because people are familiar with you. And so they'll look at you as the man instead of listening to the voice that comes through the man. Prophets and teachers and preachers that are truly ordained of Yahweh, they're just fleshly men. All of us are. None of us are perfect. You're not supposed to be looking at us as if you're to judge our activities or look at our foibles. You're supposed to be listening to the words that the Holy Spirit delivers to you. Pay attention to the words, not the person delivering them. Unless, of course, you think he's a quack or a charlatan, now that would be different. But as long as you think they truly are of the Father, then stop playing the games. As we've said many times on this program, we're going to find out why that old saying, one bad general is better than two good ones. Please keep that in mind as we go forward into the rest of this year and beginning of next year. One bad general is better than two good generals. Think about the concept of that. It's like we've talked about. How many captains are on a battleship? One. Now, there's a guy that trains, an executive officer who trains so that should the captain die, he can step up into the captain's position and keep order on the ship. Nothing wrong with that. But so long as the captain lives, he's in charge. He's the one bad general. Okay? Go ask any sailor that's ever been in the Navy or even in the Merchant Marines what it would be like if you had two guys trying to play captain at the same time. It'd be chaos. Not only that, the men are going to go, well, whose orders do I follow? Especially if they get contradictory orders. Okay? It's no different in our society. Why do you think the Jew said in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion that one of the very first high priority items that they wanted to accomplish in their quest for world domination was to destroy the Christian monarchies? Okay, has anybody stopped to think about that? Why did the enemy, and Jewish Bolshevik Zionism is our enemy, make no mistake about that. Why do you think the enemy targeted the Christian monarchies? In fact, one of the books I just added to the list, the author goes into great detail on how the great leaders of our European ancestors, the great monarchies, were destroyed by the world wars. That's one of the main reasons for the world wars. Now, an underlying reason is always to make money. A Jew doesn't get involved in anything unless he can steal our property or make money. Okay? They just don't get involved if they can't do that. But another reason was to bring down the monarchies. By doing what? By convincing the masses of sheep out there, because our IQ levels have declined significantly over the last 150 years. The sheeple don't have enough wisdom to be able to see through the lies and obfuscation. And so they were able to convince them that the problem was these old white guys that were the leaders of their countries. Nothing could have been further from the truth. However, if you'll believe a lie, well, look what they did with the mob 2,000 years ago when they told them that they needed to murder the Christ. Now, some people have sent me some information that the Christ was never actually crucified, that he escaped with Mary Magdalene and whatnot, and another person had been crucified, but I haven't seen any definitive type evidence towards that. So again, I don't have a time machine. Maybe you guys do, but I don't have a time machine, so I can't go back there and lay my eyes on the scene and say that firsthand I saw what happened. We're relying on documents that are 2,000, or in some cases a little less than 2,000 years old, by individuals, in some cases by individuals who were not there at that time. So that's why I tell people, look, my relationship with the Father is for real. It's real time. Yours should be also. I don't need to know exactly what went down 2,000 years ago. I really don't. I trust the Father implicitly. I trust that His love for us is daily and unending. That's for real. Why? Because I live it every day of my life. Every day of my life, I get up in the morning thinking about Him and His law, and every night when my head hits the pillow, it's the last thoughts on my mind. Why? Because that's what He told us. And that's what my experience is in my prayer life with the Father when He talks to us via the Holy Spirit. I don't need to know intimate details of past history, whether we're talking secular history or biblical history. I don't need them. Maybe you need them. Maybe you'd like to sit around and argue about this stuff. I've been to plenty of gatherings where our people will sit and endlessly debate each other over the minutiae of ancient writings, which I find to be amazing. Because the Spirit tells me we're family. We should behave like family. He's the head, and we men are next in line, and the ladies and the children come next. How do I know that? Because not only does Scripture say it, but I can prove it with empirical evidence in the here and now. I don't need ancient authors to tell me that. I got plenty of empirical evidence that's right now. Look at this world that they've created in the United States and most Western countries, this Bolshevik Jew hell that we all live in, with their absolute psychotic behavior and psychotic philosophies, such as Sigmund Freud and Edward Bernays and all these other demented psychopaths that have infested our civilization. Okay? Just look at what it's done. Look at what they've got teaching in your schools, what they're promoting. They're taking away the religious exemption or your faith-based exemption to vaccines. That's here and now, folks. You don't need to read something 2,000 years old about an enemy doing something. That's your enemy. You know, and this is gradualism, the exact thing that the Messiah told us and warned us about, the gradualism of the Pharisees. And the fact that hypocrisy was a way to identify them. They are the consummate hypocrites. And look at these Jews who have infiltrated government and medicine and entertainment and media. What's one of the biggest traits of every one of these Bolshevik sons of bitches? They're hypocrites. Consummate hypocrites, exactly as our Aryan Messiah told us and warned us. And yet, do we listen? No. Typically, we don't listen. Now, I'm going to go into a little report that was put out over the Common Sense show. I have not verified it through anybody else. But he put out something today that says that 13 of our states are grumbling that they are going to join with Virginia Governor Northam, another psychopath, another demonic psychopath, in trying to disarm the men and women of the state. Now, some of the states that were talked about was quite interesting because I've lived in probably almost half of these. Pennsylvania, my home state, which I found hard to believe. But here again, it's not rural. None of these states, it's not the rural areas, just like it's not rural areas in Virginia. It's these little nests of vipers that have political power, but they don't represent the people. They represent the Bolsheviks, the anti-constitutional fascists. So Pennsylvania, Ohio, New York, Kentucky, Illinois, Colorado, New Jersey, Oklahoma, Oregon, Washington, California, and last but not least, Florida. Now, Is there a preponderance of Bolsheviks in political power in those states? Yeah, there is. Are there plenty of gun owners in those states? Yeah, there is. And so we're going to find out the reason for the Second Amendment, probably within our lifetime, probably within the next few years, maybe not even that long. The way things are heating up right now, probably would only take a spark, I would imagine. Might only just take a spark. So we've got all this stuff going on between the states and the state governments, and the patriot community is basically saying, we've had enough. Hallelujah. I was wondering when the men were going to learn how to be men again, because real men, there's been a absolute desert of men who know how to be men. As one guy who wrote a series of books, I'm going to talk about that here in just a second. There's a series of books put out called Modules for Manhood, What Every Man Must Know, and it was written primarily by Kenneth Royce, and volume number one was co-written by Boston Tea Party. That's obviously a nom de plume, and it's interesting. But I read some of the book report on this, and it's very appropriate because, like it says in the write-up, 50-some percent of our population are males, but that doesn't make you a man. And I like the premise of the books because it's biblical-based. It's talking about honor and duty and soberness and the fact that we are to be the best that we can be. Our Heavenly Father expects that of us. And these books talk about the fact that to go from being just a male to a real man, that's what you're supposed to do. And you're not supposed to put your life, even the scriptures verify this, but you're not supposed to put your life above duty. Ever. And the importance of that will become very apparent in the very near future, because these psychopaths are not going to quit. They're near the point where they think they can pull this off, or else all this kabuki theater would not be going on right now. All this nonsense where they're claiming they've got evidence and we're going to have the attorney general, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't see it. And more commentators on the internet and over radio and other source platforms are beginning to point this out, that we get lots of rhetoric, we get no action. While the enemy is very quick to act, just like now, these psychopaths in places like Virginia and New York, they're already planning for next year. They're already trying to implement some of it when it hasn't even been made into law yet. That's how the enemy works. They start implementing just like when NAFTA was passed. NAFTA had been implemented by the federal government 5, 6 months before it was even voted on. How many people know that? They were implementing the provisions of NAFTA half of a year before NAFTA was even voted on because they knew it was going to pass. They'd already made enough threats and blackmailed enough people and put enough shekels in pockets to make sure of that. So our enemy has no problem jumping the gun and acting right away, but we're supposed to believe that because it's the good guys, we got to take everything very carefully. And okay, well, that's just a way for an enemy to seduce you into inactivity. That's an enemy trying to seduce you with smooth-sounding words, just like the serpent, the Nakash, which was an evil man, a deceptive and conniving enchanter, meaning a man, not a snake, a serpent. Serpent creature. He did the same thing to Eve, did he not? He didn't tell her, come on, come over here by this tree and let me have my way with you. He seduced her by telling her, look, just like the women today, look, it's your body. You can murder that child. Because, first of all, we call it a fetus. It's a fetus. It's not a baby. And it's your body. And that baby's in your body. So therefore, the baby has no rights. You see how they seduce Eve? Because Adam has never showed up for the game. The Adamic man is sitting around on his ass while the serpent is having a field day with our wives and our children and our daughters and shredding our Constitution, shredding our Bibles, shredding our congregations, shredding our nation, shredding our financial institutions. And the Adamic man, he just sits there playing tiddlywinks, thinking that somehow either I'll be raptured out of here, which I got news for you, that's not going to happen, or somebody else will pay the price. Just like that quote I just read. Somebody who has more metal, somebody who actually has stones in his pouch, he'll make it better so I can stay here and play my computer games and drink my beer and drink my wine and watch television so I don't have to get involved. Just a few of the titles of books. And here's the amazing thing. People say, well, Dan, where do you come up with all this? Well, besides the Holy Spirit, and besides the thousands of hours I've spent studying Scripture, just catch a few of these titles of the kind of books that I find and read all the time. American Exceptionalism, An Experiment in History by Charles Murray. And by the way, if you want to find some good books on race and what we've accomplished and everything, just go look up Charles Murray. Go into the search engines and just say expanded search window, put in for the author Charles Murray, Murray. This guy has written a lot of books. So he wrote that book. He also wrote Human Accomplishment, which is a book that details the inventions and discoveries, etc., of the white race. Phenomenal. 99%, probably more than that, probably closer to 99.8% of what we call civilization today was produced by white people, not the mixed multitude. Another good book here, At Our Wit's End, Why We Are Becoming Less Intelligent and What It Means for the Future, by Edward Dutton, who goes by the the Jolly Heretic. That's right. So he's on YouTube, the Jolly Heretic, and Michael Woodley of Many. Charles Murray also wrote By the People, Rebuilding Liberty Without Permission. Another good book here was Canada in Decay, Mass Immigration, Diversity, and the Ethnocide of Euro-Canadians. So you see, people with talent are putting publications out there, but the average person is too busy watching television and being entertained. In other words, they're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. They're listening to the music, drinking their beer, dancing, sitting around being lazy sons of bitches while the ship is taking on water and sinking. The information's out there. You don't even have to debate people. That's why I like using it. I consider every one of these titles like a bullet. Every one of these titles is a bullet in my weapon to fire at my enemy. Because now the masses of retards that we call society today, when they want to get in your face and argue with them, I just point them towards the book and say, look, first of all, I know you're too lazy to read, so you're probably not. But how about you take, Canada in Decay, and you tell me what Ricardo Duch Duschenda. I'm not sure how you pronounce that last name because I'm not sure what language it is even. Duchesne. But you go tell the author that wrote the book explaining all that. You go tell me what he says it's wrong, okay? Just like Charles Weissman's book, Anthology of Racial Issues. Another Charles Murray book, Coming Apart, The State of White America, 1960 to 2010. Excellent book. This same Ricardo fellow wrote Faustian Man in a Multicultural Age. Edward Dutton wrote How to Judge People by What They Look Like. So right here in 2018, he copyrighted a book that's saying that what Sigmund Freud and all the rest of the psychopathic Jews have been telling us in our education system, where, well, you know, you shouldn't judge a book by the cover, and, you know, we're all the same on the inside. When you turn the lights out, we're all the same. Well, here Mr. Dutton says that, contrary to what all these morons have been pumping into our heads for decades, you actually can judge people a lot by the way they look, the way they talk, the way they dress, their mannerisms, etc. So, gee, once again, Bolshevik lying psychopaths like Sigmund Freud and all the rest of these degenerates that have walked amongst us were full of shit. Isn't that amazing? So we bought it. Our parents bought it. Our grandparents bought it. And in some cases, our great-grandparents bought it. We should have done what George Washington and Ben Franklin said many, many years ago and drove those SOBs out of our country. Charles Murray also wrote the book Human Diversity, The Biology of Gender, Race, and Class. And he also wrote In Our Hands, A Plan to Replace the Welfare State. Also, In Pursuit of Happiness and Good Government. Losing Ground, American Social Policy, 1950 to 1980. Edward Dutton wrote another one called Race Differences in Ethnocentrism. And I've got a whole bunch of books here. Here's one by Richard Herrnstein and Charles Murray, The Bell Curve, Intelligence and Class Structure in American Life. And here's a good one. I've listened to Heather McDonald speak. I believe it was a YouTube of one of her addresses, and she's almost as good as Kevin McDonald. I don't know if they're related or not. But she wrote the book, The Diversity Delusion, How Race and Gender Pandering Corrupt the University and Undermine Our Culture. It reminds me also of the book by Professor Rechtenwald, Google Archipelago, which is obviously a takeoff of Gulag Archipelago, but Google Archipelago. And he makes some very, very astute observations in that book. I enjoyed reading it. I was going to try to have him on as a guest, but I don't know if that's going to work or not. Another good book by Edward Dutton is The Silent Rape Epidemic, How the Finns, or the people over in Finland, How the Finns Were Groomed to Love Their Abusers. Hallelujah. Like I said, you can go to my page at PastorDan.net and the recommended reading. I don't have the ones I just mentioned up there yet. I found too many of them today. I ran out of time. But you can go there, and there is a lot of material to not only educate yourself, but anybody out there that cares about the truth. You see, the truth is going to matter whether people like it or not. Up till now, people have been able to sit on their fat asses, sit on that fence, even though the world was going to hell, even though we're allowing Jewish organizations like Monsanto and Bayer and all these other conglomerates to poison our food, genetically modify our food, poison our air, poison our water, all these pharmaceuticals and petrochemical facilities, and not do a damn thing about it. Well, I have a job I got to worry about. I have a pension I have to worry about. Blah, 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 blah. There's always a reason to sit on your ass and not get involved. Always. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, in light of the fact those books called The Modules for Manhood and the fact that we need to teach our boys how to be men again, we need to let them know the truth. Stop telling them fairy tales like Santa Claus and even Christmas. This is actually, as one of my European corresponding brothers sent out a, I wish you a very merry Christ Conception Day. This is not his birthday. He was not born in December. That's Roman Catholicism marrying paganism into the worship of the true living God. Okay, paganism. Now, was he conceived in December? Yeah, probably was. Because 9 months later would put him right about the time of the Feast of Tabernacles when he was actually born. Not December. This is all paganism, the Easter Bunny and all the harp and garbage with that nonsensical thing. It's not tied to the Christ. Well, it's tied to the risen Christ. Really? What the hell does colored eggs and Easter bunnies have to do with the risen Christ? What do those things have to do with Passover, which is the actual springtime feast that we should be observing when our Heavenly Father pulled our asses out of the fire once before? And we're right back in Egypt. How many times did the prophets tell us you'll go right back to Egypt? What does that mean? That means economic slavery, economic bondage, because you're too damn lazy and stupid to stand and fight, to educate yourself, and to organize as a family. How does a family organize? What is the kernel, the nugget, the nucleus of the family unit? What is that? You ever think about that? What is it that builds, just like a crystal builds around a grain, like a pearl starts out around the grain of sand inside the oyster? Okay, what is it that the family comes together around? What is that nugget? What is that little grain of sand or that little nucleus, like in an atom? What is that little nucleus? It's called a man. Not a transgender, not a homosexual, not a faggot, not a fairy, not a snowflake, not a soy boy, not a bun-wearing dude. No. A man. Difference. It doesn't say a male. It says a man. A real man in the office of patriarch. Patriarchy. Okay? I know a lot of people, you know, they want to argue about that, but I'm going to tell you, if we don't learn how to establish our families and our communities the way our ancestors did, we're done. Because that's where the strength is. Why do you think the enemy has worked so hard to destroy that unity? Okay? Because there's strength in it, okay? It's not that hard to figure out. Patriarchy. Patriarchy. And again, one bad general is better than two good ones. The patriarch, he may not be perfect, but he makes the decisions for the family. Why? Because he's going to make decisions as quickly as possible and efficiently as possible for the benefit of every single person in the family. As the patriarch rises in prestige in the community and he's being honored by the community for his Radamanthine attributes, he's raised up and raised up usually financially as well. Well, that in turn, he blesses his family with that. That is a biblical precept. Makes perfect sense. And there's strength and unity within these large patriarchal families, because as the heads of the families get together, they become what? Townships, precincts. And as the precincts join together, they become what? Oh, that's right, counties. But it's all based on the same building block, a very strong patriarchal family. And the patriarch's job is to keep the wolves, the vipers, and the Bolsheviks at bay. The Bolsheviks are getting ready to make their move, folks. I hope you're paying attention to what's going on, not only in Virginia, but going on a lot of other places. The Bolsheviks are ready to make their move. And I don't see, personally, this is my opinion, I don't see anything in Washington, D.C., it's going to stem the tide, and I don't see much being done at the state level, to be honest with you. I see it at the county level with some of the sheriffs and the militia. And how many times have we talked about that on this program? You're going to find you're going to have more loyalty and more salvation via our Heavenly Father and our men at the county level than you're going to see at the state and federal level, because they're all psychopaths. They're all merchants. What does the book of Revelation say about the merchants? All right. Just like Mr. Michael Brown, when he was my guest many years ago, made a very strong statement when he said there's two kinds of men in this world, merchants and warriors. Merchants do everything they do for money and the things money buys. That's what's running this country at the state and federal level. Merchants, psychopaths, liars, misfits. The other warriors do everything for women, meaning family, community, neighbors, children. Future. They don't care about material stuff. They'd be just as happy living in a Quonset hut or a yurt or a cabin tent. Okay? That's the beauty of that. Warriors versus merchants. The other point that he made during our conversation on the radio was that right now, this world, especially here in the United States, it's being run by the merchants, the bankers, the elitists, the psychopaths. He says, but in the end, the warriors always win. Hallelujah. In the end, the warriors always win. A good place to look in history for this very thing happening is Athens, Greece. Athens, when it was working its way up in stature and prominence and all, had a very strong military. They also had their thinkers and philosophers and teachers and mathematics and the sciences. That's all good and stuff. But at one point, they got into a war. I can't remember if it was Sparta or not, but I believe it was Sparta. And the Spartans kicked their ass. Now, the Spartans were just the opposite. They didn't. They had their philosophers and mathematicians and whatnot. They enjoyed beauty and all that stuff, but they were also warriors. They trained to be warriors, even though they preferred not to fight. That's the truth of the Spartans. It's not like they went out looking for fights. They had actually preferred not to fight. But if they were forced into it, they were going to kick your ass. And they were damn good at it. Okay? Well, they kicked Athens' butt. And the Athenian historian went to the council of the Athenians and he said, your troubles came about because you forgot how to be warriors. Take a look at the average American today. You think they could fight a war? I'm talking about the males. Do you think they could fight a prolonged war? Do you think they could even rise up enough to give up even a minimal amount of resistance, especially if a UN army shows up in here? Because they're not going to have any resistance to doing dirty deeds to you and your family. I hope you understand that. That's why they would bring a UN army in here, because they can't trust the U.S. military and police forces that are made up with a lot of good old boys from the neighborhood. They can't trust that. So they're going to rely on outsiders. We've talked about that for 20 years. And now we found out that there's a large contingency in Cuba, or at least that's what the word is, of UN troops being bivouacked in Cuba, which is only 80 miles from our shores. And in the so-called parks across this country that the government controls, those are housing foreign troops. That's why in the Great Smoky Mountains National Forest, there's many places off limits to hikers and campers. Why? Because they don't want anybody stumbling on what they have hidden there. Your government is psychopathic. These are psychopaths. They are Bolsheviks. That's actually synonymous. If you're a psychopath, odds are you're a Bolshevik, and if you're a Bolshevik, you damn sure are a psychopath. So, nothing should surprise us about these people. Anyway, the nine noble virtues, and I dedicated the nine noble virtues to the white stallions. The white stallions is my term for the white men who actually are men. If you look up the dictionary definition of a stallion, it's a horse, a male horse that is extremely virile and has a very strong constitution. It's a fighter. A stallion. And just like Michael Brown says, stallions do everything for the mares or the females of the horses. A stallion can't be bought off because he doesn't care about money. He cares about his breed, his family, his bloodline. So these are the nine noble virtues. And I got this from a website called Joshua Lightning Warrior. That's all together. JoshuaLightningWarrior.wordpress.com. The nine noble virtues are based on virtues found in historic Norse and Germanic paganism, gleaned from various sources, including the poetic Edda, particularly the Havamal, and the, I can't even begin to pronounce that German or Swedish word, and as evident in the Icelandic sagas. They are a wonderful set of guidelines for honor and morality. Now again, I will email these to anybody that wants a copy. I have it in a small text document. I have them printed out and put right here by my command center so that I see them every single day. These are the nine noble virtues. Courage. I face my fear and defend my family and kindred from all dangers. And the word kindred could be substituted tribe. So kindred or tribe. Number two, discipline. I do what is necessary and right of my own accord without bribe or threat. Fidelity. I am true to my family, friends, kindred, and those to whom I pledge service. Honor. I stand by my oaths and honor my ancestors by keeping my name pure amongst the kindred. Another aspect of keeping your name pure, even though in modern English we don't really understand this, but keeping your name pure also meant keeping your bloodline pure. Your name is no longer honored if it's impure, okay? That's tradition. That goes back thousands of years. Number five, hospitality. I share hearth food and drink with my friends, my kindred, and the weary traveler at my door. A small caveat on that, the traveler of my people. Not that I don't care about other people, but we're to take care of our own first. These other people can take care of their own themselves. We take care of our own first. Number 6, industriousness. I take joy in labor and hold nothing back from the work I pledge to do. 7, perseverance. I press on against all odds until my goal is met. The task is finished and I have done all I have said I will do. Number 8, self-reliance. I learn skills and grow strong so that I may earn my way in the world and be no burden to others. Number 9, truth. I seek the truth even when it may hurt. I speak true words or stand in silence, and I defend the truth from those who do not honor it. Another little piece of literature that I wanted to share with you, which we have not read in quite some time, is a poem by Rudyard Kipling called The Wrath of the Awakened Saxon. There's a little quote of Francis Parker Yockey, who wrote the book Imperium. This destiny does not tire, nor can it be broken, and its mantle of strength descends upon those in its service. So here's The Wrath of the Awakened Saxon. Listen and listen well. It was not part of their blood. It came to them very late, with long arrears to make good when the Saxon began to hate. They were not easily moved. They were icy, willing to wait till every count should be proved ere the Saxon began to hate. Their voices were even and low. Their eyes were level and straight. There was neither sign nor show when the Saxon began to hate. It was not preached to the crowd. It was not taught by the state. No man spoke it aloud when the Saxon began to hate. It was not suddenly bred. It will not swiftly abate. Through the chilled years ahead, when time shall count from the date that the Saxon began to hate. Again, how many schools put that amongst the poems of Rudyard Kipling? Probably not too many. Probably not too many at all. I'd also want to recommend folks that you read the Soldier's Psalm, Psalm 91, from time to time. It's both encouraging and basically a glimpse of what we'll see to come here. I have a version of it here. I think this is King James, which I don't particularly care for. Most things in the King James. Let me see if I can get it here in the World English Bible. Psalm 91. We'll go ahead and share that here. Again, it's called the Soldier's Psalm. And before we read that, I want to remind you, too, as we watch the chaos and everything going, I hope people are putting some of the pieces together. What you're seeing as they destroy our country is exactly why the Founding Fathers put so much effort into controlling your money. When you gave the enemy control of your banking and money and credit, that was you signed the death warrant of your nation. Because just look at what happened in Virginia. Why did Virginia turn socialist communist? Okay, Bloomberg in New York, the absolutely over wealthy, he doesn't deserve it, but an extremely wealthy Jewish Bolshevik communist paid for the people to run in Virginia in areas where he could do it so that they got enough control that the state has swung Bolshevik. And again, not because it represents the masses out in the countryside, it's mostly in the cities. This is also why the founding fathers said those who cast the ballot were to be landowners, not itinerant, vagrant pieces of garbage that inhabit cities. You see how it's the little things, as they said in when I was a boy, the devil is in the details. You lost your minds, people. The founding fathers said that for those who cast the ballot, there has to be qualifications. You let some professor, some Jew, come into your education system and convince you that, well, that's just not fair. Why should the landowners, those rich white guys, those aristocrats, why should they make all the decisions? I think it should be up to the people. You know, the people that we control and that we're able to buy and lie to and deceive, they should be able to do it, not those nasty landowners. That's because our people lost their minds. The founding fathers knew damn well what they were doing. It's because landowners have skin in the game, folks. And for the very reason that Virginia just swung over to be in a Bolshevik state, because of all the people in the cities. That's where the Bolsheviks hang out, in cities. If you applied the rules that the founding fathers had, they would not have a voice in government. So now the vast majority of Virginia, which is good old boys and down-home type country folk who believe in the Bible and the Second Amendment and America as it started out, you're now outvoted because they've got plenty of votes amongst the Bolsheviks because you forgot what the Founding Fathers said. You let sweet-sounding words, just like when you lost your minds and you voted to be accepting women's suffrage, meaning women having a vote. No. That's insane. And, you know, it's funny. I've been saying that for 20 years. I thought I'd get a lot of hate mail, but I really haven't. Actually, I don't think I've got one piece of hate mail over that statement in 20 years. Just the opposite. The folks that listen to the broadcast have said they agree with it. Even my own family and many of the people I'm acquainted with have said the exact same thing. I agree with you. My own sister said it that I lost in June, but many times we had discussions about it, and she goes, I agree with you. I don't want anything to do with politics. I have no interest in it. I got no desire to study the issues. That's a man's job. Amen. It is a man's job. So that was two big things right there. You let women. Now we don't even make sure it's white. The Founding Fathers said it should be nothing but white men. And not just any old white men, but white men who own property and who are stellar, radamanthine, of high character, real men, educated men, rational, clear thinkers. You don't give the right to cast a ballot to just any old buddy. How stupid. How completely stupid. And, you know, another thing I've noticed too, a lot of people are talking, and some people are starting to figure out that, you know, Jesus is not his real name, okay? Yeshua was his name. Jesus comes from the German Bibles. But the same thing is Mary. You know that's not her name, right? I hope everybody that listens here knows Mary is not the name of the mother of Messiah. It was Maria or Miriam, depends on which Greek text or manuscript you get it from, because it shows up in both versions. So either Maria or Miriam in the English, right from the the Greek language. So obviously Mary's not it. Now, where did we get Mary? We got that from the Catholic Church. Seems like, you see, they don't want you pronouncing or saying the names the way they actually were, because these psychopaths get a certain thrill out of mocking our Heavenly Father and our ancestors. Yep. So, Psalm 91, the soldier's psalm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim God, in whom I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will take refuge. His faithfulness is your shield and rampart. You shall not be afraid of the terror by day, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 4. Because you have made Yahweh your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall happen to you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He will put His angelos, angels, messengers in charge of you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and cobra. You will tread the young lion and the serpent underfoot. Because He has set His love on me, this is the words of our Father now, because He has set His love on me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will satisfy him with long life and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. So again, instead of saying we're celebrating Christmas, why don't we say we're celebrating our Messiah's conception, which was in December. So I don't do any of the Christmas stuff. I gave that up years ago. But for those people that want to say a glad tiding or whatever, just and get people thinking too, this is the time of year that our Messiah was conceived. So I say Happy Conception Day for our Messiah. Most people don't even equate the Christ with the holiday. It's just become routine, just a reason for a day off and spend money, give gifts, put up a tree, which is pagan. Jeremiah chapter 10 goes into that. We're not supposed to deceive one another, which Santa Claus and Easter Bunny and all of that nonsense is utter deception. So, I mean, we're so far off the beaten track, it's amazing that He hasn't destroyed us, to be honest. I'm not sure why He hasn't. There's many of Scripture that talk about the fact that, you know, He had at different points in time regretted even forming us. And I'm just a mortal man, and yet I, from my position, I can understand. I can understand that feeling. I really can. As you walk amongst people today, they don't have a clue. It's like they're zombies, just like Ezekiel talked about that valley of dead and dry bones. That reminds me of people I see day to day. They're just bags of bones going through the motions. They don't have any spirit. They don't have any soul. They don't stand for anything, or like the quote we just read, there's nothing on this earth they believe in fighting for. They just want to go along to get along. And the church is probably one of the worst places for this nonsensical attitude our people have, teaching this tolerance garbage. Tolerance is a formula for disaster, folks. Being tolerant is a sign of weakness, not a strength. Inviting invaders into your country to break your laws and invade and rape your daughters, that's stupidity. And when they make the move to disarm us, I hope people understand that that is your line in the sand. Because you might as well just invite the Bolsheviks to come in and do what they did to our Russian cousins 100 years ago. And you will live to regret the day that you allowed that to happen. Trust me. You will live to regret the day that you disarmed and allowed the Bolsheviks control. If everything goes according to my plan, I won't be here to see it. I'll be on the other side watching how y'all handle it. I don't even want to be here, to be honest with you. If my racial family is that pathetically weak and cowardly, I don't know that I want to be here with you. So a day of reckoning is coming in the very near future, where Father is going to find out who's got the metal, who's got their stones in their sack, who the King Davids are, who the Joshuas are, who the Moseses are, and who the cowards are. I see lots of signs that there are a element of real men still walking this earth. And we don't have to be the majority. Far from it. Father can grant victory to his sons no matter what their strength is. All the sons of Yahweh have to do is agree to unite and say no more. That's all. That's all. As General Stonewall Jackson said, duty is ours, consequences belong to the Father. Okay? Doing our duty is what we should be focusing on, not worrying about consequences. Let the Father take care of the consequences. I've said that most of my life. I go where the Father leads me, even if it's places I don't want to be, which Florida was the last state of the Union I ever wanted to be in. I had no, even though I had family down here, there was nothing in Florida that attracted me. I did not want to come to Florida. But the Father has a way of hitting you upside the head when he wants you to do something, and he shuts doors in your face until one day you find a door that's open to basically get you out of trouble, and you find out that door is taking you someplace that you never dreamed you'd go. But then you have a choice. Do you fight what the Father is trying to get you to do? Or do you just say, well, I guess you know better than I do. I'm just going to take a step of faith, just like Abraham did. And that's what I did. And I got to tell you, coming to Florida, even though I am amongst a mixed multitude down here, and I'm not real happy with that sort of thing, but Yahweh has used this time to great advantage for me as a learning experience, as a building of a command structure, and I've become acquainted with many, many of the best people I've ever met through my time down here. I would never have guessed it, never in a million years. So the point I'm trying to make is, lean not under your own understanding, just as the scripture says. Don't lean on your own understanding, but trust the Father. If you have the correct relationship with the Father, don't you think he's going to guide you to where he wants you? Do you not trust that he will look after you no matter where he sends you? Look at Jonah. Okay? Jonah went through a horrific ordeal, and yet the Father walked with him. Same thing with Joshua. The spies that went into Canaan and came back. You know, there's example after example of our people who have been in horrific situations, and yet Father's able to bring you out. He wants you to turn to him. That's what people just haven't figured out yet. This is all a test to see who is going to lean on him and return to him, and who is going to keep going the ways of man, which lead to destruction. Who is going to make that critical decision? And who is going to go the way of the pagans and the merchants? I want to take my stand with fellow men, and I want to be, as Revelation says, I want to be in the grandstands watching from afar as Babylon burns and all of the merchants and all of the government bureaucrat liars and psychopaths weep and wail. There's other verses in there that said, all the weapons that have been formed against us will not prevail. Do you trust the Father or don't you? I know what the enemy's working on, but so what? So what? You don't think our Father's got people working on things too? I'm here to tell you, yeah, he does. You think that only the misfits and the psychopaths have the ability to invent and come up with weapons? You don't think our side has weapons that they don't know about? Sure we do. So anyway, at this time of our Messiah's conception, I want to bid everybody a blessed day. I'm praying that you're all safe and sound wherever you are. Definitely at this point in time, you want to stay abreast of what's going on around you, more so than usual. You should also be making preparations. You should have been doing this a long time ago, but if you haven't, you better get that back to the basics, and you also better put up a 3-month supply as a minimum. Minimum. Be able to hunker down for 3 months. Food, water, beans, bullets, bandages, ammunition, medicines. I saw the repentant Yankee put on a video today where he was talking about a very good tourniquet that he keeps in his medical kit. And I found out that on eBay you can find it. It's called a SWAT-T, SWAT-T, SWAT-T tourniquet. And it's produced by a company called Recon Medical. And the reason he likes that one, and I agree with him, is because the little rod that you use to tighten the tourniquet's made of aluminum and not plastic. You don't want plastic as a tourniquet lever. Metal, because you never know what kind of conditions you're going to be in, and plastic can get cold and break. Plastic can deteriorate. Aluminum is not going to deteriorate. So just a little tidbit there, but you know, get your preparations made. But we'll keep it short tonight because a lot of you do have family visiting or whatnot, and some things that are going on. So we'll pick up the longer versions of our chit chats here probably this Sunday. And if there is a need, I will have emergency broadcasts in between the shows on Wednesday and Sunday as needed to keep you informed. So if there is anything going on, please pass it along to all of us. Share it with your friends and fellows. We're in this together, folks. I personally, at this point in time anyway, it looks like the ark is made up of individuals, us as a family, staying and networking with each other. At some other point, it may become community, land, or whatever, but right now, the ark appears to be a network of heartfelt believers who are disgusted with the condition of this world and are fighting tooth and nail to against the wicked, which is exactly what we're supposed to do. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters all over this earth. We know this is perilous times, just as you told us, that there's a great shaking in the heavens and the earth, both in the natural world and in the geopolitical. And we also know that there is a remnant that's rising, and there is a vast and mighty army starting to form out of that valley, that huge expanse of dead and dry bones. We just pray that you would continue to pour out your spirit upon the flesh of our people and the flesh of all people, to let them know that the enemies of all mankind are preparing to subdue this world and turn it into a satanic hell. And mankind needs to rise up, and the sons of Adam need to lead this. And this will be the great battle between the children of light and the children of darkness. Be with us all, Father Yahweh. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings. Help us and guide us to see things clearly and to keep a focus on you and a focus on each other, and not get caught up in the fear-mongering and the fear porn. Help us to get our health back and to eat properly and to teach others the things that we do learn. And we would ask that your coming and establishing your throne, and that you would rule over us with a rod of iron. We pray that that would be very, very soon, and that with your coming would become the great jubilee that you have talked and told us about through the prophets, a restoration of this poor earth and a restoration of mankind away from these satanic creatures. And in the meantime, we ask that you would protect us from our enemies. And we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.